and put the study up wherever that's at. Gotta shrink some of these things here. Shabbat Shalom. It's such a nice day today. Here it is. Boy, it's hard to believe it's October 21st. There it is, 2017. Okay. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Very good. The trumpet is blown. We are one of Messiah congregation. That's Kahal Chabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Da Israel. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone. We're in a place called Hohenwald, Tennessee, Maple Street. There's our phone numbers, there's my email. Haven't received any emails on my Minister Malachi at Comcast.net. I don't know why. And also there's our website. Anyway, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day and this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, first we come to you and ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, anything that was not pleasing to you, Father. May you forgive us for anything we do ignorantly. We don't sin presumptuously. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day. I pray you'll bless the study, bless the people here, let everything be fruitful to them. Take away anything that's corrupt out of our minds and hearts and souls and fill us only with the truth, Lord and God. I pray for healing for everyone. I pray for strength for everyone, spiritual strength and physical strength. May God give us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. May God lead, guide, and direct us. That's a very important prayer. And I always want him to lead us where we should go and guide us and deliver us too. And may God help you and protect you and always be around you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Here we are, October 21st, 2017 in the 21st century. And we only got not too many days left to October. Of course, the old rhyme goes 30 days, has September, April, June, and November. Oh, it has 31. Oh, so we got a couple. We have 10 more days. But anyway, we only got this daytime hours left of Ha'etanim. So it's the seventh month of God, Ha'etanim. Not Tishrei, not when the earth was created, not Adam's birthday, not Rosh Hashanah. And stay away from my cautions are very important. Stay away from Judaism. Be careful of some Messianic groups and Protestant leaders that follow Judaism or Messianics. There it is, Ha'etanim, right there, 1 Kings 8:2. My ministry has been a teaching ministry for the last 16 years, whatever it is. And I like to undelete some things for you, the things that have been covered and hidden. Thank God my little website is still, my server back there is faithfully running with all the new hardware and software. And so you could read the studies, you could listen to them, you could watch them, you could download them. We're on Pow Talk right now. It's a room that we fellowship on. And there's a URL right there. You can put it in the real player and see me streaming live right now. So if you can do that. I haven't received any invitations lately. Some people wanted to learn about the Hebrew roots, but they sort of faded away. But maybe one day again I'll contact them. Seems like every week there's something else that comes up where I can't really get something else, just happens. Anyway, tonight, when the sun goes down, it's going to start the eighth month of God called Bul, and that's Bul, not Bull, okay? And that's in 1 Kings 6:38. So that's really important to know. It's the eighth month of God. And it's a sense of rain. So we can see today it's getting a little cloudy. Not to say, I don't know if it's going to rain, but you know. You know, I was noticing in Joel, it says, the old men are going to dream dreams. And that's the category I fit in nowadays. And you young men out there, you're supposed to see visions. That's Joel 2 and Acts 2. And two dreams I had recently, a topic on Jerusalem. I found Jerusalem 670 times in Tanakh and 144 times in the Gospels and letters. So about 814 times. What a topic that would make one day. I didn't do a study on that today. And then another topic was in my dream was, when did the Israelites lose the land of Israel through invasions? And, you know, why and to what nations? Israel today is back in the land in 1948. You know, that's the Gregorian calendar. Not by any righteousness of their own. But that would also make a great topic to explore one day. That would be a history class. And then there's another important issue I've been notified of, basically, through email. I was exploring this week human trafficking. There's a website you can click on. There's adults and minors, and there's sex trafficking and labor trafficking in a form of modern slavery in 2007. Who would believe that? So unbeknownst to the average person, if you never think about this, this is going on right here. And it's a multi-billion dollar criminal industry that denies freedom to about 20.9 million people around the world. And no matter where you live, it doesn't matter where you live. You can't say it's just the projects or the slums. You could be in the best neighborhoods too, they said. The best neighborhoods. Chances are it's happening nearby. From the girl forced into prostitution at a truck stop to the man discovered in a restaurant kitchen held against his will. And they even give you industries where people are being taken from, you know, which they can be taken from anywhere, really. All trafficking victims share one essential experience, the loss of freedom. Yes, this is happening in 2017. It's hard to believe. People are being, this is going on, right? It's a thing I wasn't thinking about, I must be honest. I mean, that was, you know, but it's really happening big. Anyway, having said all that, today's topic at hand, the topic at hand is Jehovah's Holy Days versus Pagan Holidays. And that's what, I like staying with the current events here, because this is what we all experience. All God's holy days and feasts are over for 2017. Isn't that amazing? 2017 is no more God's feasts or holy days. Of course, in the Bible, in Exodus 12:2, we have God's new year. Now, everyone should know by now the spring holy days and feasts were shadows of the first coming of the Lord Yeshua. And, of course, the holy days and feasts are the fall holy days and feasts, the shadows of the second coming of our Lord Yeshua in the future, in God's seventh month, Ha'etanim. So in short, you know, God's feasts are all about, you better hear the sound of the trumpet, and you better be atoned if you want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. That's what they're all about. That's in short. Interesting point, God's feasts are about Him. Pagan feasts are for people, family. They say it's for the children. God's feasts are not stressful as the pagan feasts, which with their false image of love, false emotions, loneliness, depression, financial drain, and suicidal thoughts. Some people actually have this. You hear about this as time progresses here. So print this out for your information if you can, because you might need this when you witness to people and talk to people. Always remember, embellished, made-up stories are still lies. That's embellished, made-up stories. Do you understand that? No matter how fancy they dress the cake, it's still fake. No matter how fancy you dress that doll that you buy in the store, even if it has like eyelashes and it looks just like a baby, it's still fake. It doesn't have any life. I've seen actually some toys that look like the actual babies. You ever see those?
Yeah.
And it's weird. But then again, there's no life. There's no breath. Sad to say, I know most of the world is getting ready to do the pagan Halloween. They're getting ready for Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and then Christmas. Isn't that weird? Stores can't be set up fast enough for these days to make money. It's all about money. Besides what the real reasons are. Another year goes by and a new generation of the youth is polluted. Isn't that terrible? People just can't wait to dress their kids as some kind of evil, ghoul or something. You're supposed to teach your children. Deuteronomy says, only take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligent, lest you'll forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from thy heart all the days of your life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You're supposed to teach your sons, your grandsons, your daughters, your granddaughters, your children, anyone who comes near you. You know? especially the day that thou stood before Jehovah thy God in Horeb, when Jehovah said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn, which is a learning process, learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And that's really important. Of course, today, now we got to teach the, we have to teach the parents, you know. 'Tis the season to be pagan. Ho, ho, ho is already around us. It really is. So I thought I'd just go over a couple of these things that you could actually talk to people about. If the door opens, Halloween, also called All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve, Samhain, and that's called Samhain, and Hallowed End, A History of Halloween. I put a history of Halloween because there's many on the net. So, the origin of Halloween is the Celtic festival of Samhain, Lord of Death and Evil Spirits. Long before Messiah, at least 2,000 years, Druids in Britain, Ireland, Scotland, France, and Germany, and other Celtic countries observed the end of summer by making sacrifices to Samhain. The Celts considered November 1st as being the day of death because the leaves were falling. Just think, that's only a couple days from now, 11 days from now. They call that the day of death because the leaves were falling. It was getting darker sooner and temperatures were dropping. And pretty soon we'll be changing the clocks where it's going to be dark earlier. Ooh, that doesn't scare me. They believe, if I say some of these names inaccurate, don't worry about it. They believed Muck, Ola, their sun god, was losing strength, and Samhain, Lord of Death, was overpowering him. People have such pagan thoughts, and it breeds into their children, and just, you know, the procession keeps going down through time. It's interesting how, like, we're living at this point in time in 2017 in the 21st century, so we could actually use our own little time machine and look back, you know, and we see what exactly took place. These evil spirits have been confined to inhabit animal bodies for the past year as punishment for their evil deeds. They were allowed to return to their former home to visit the living on the eve of October 31st, which is coming soon, of the Feast of Samhain. Druid priests led the people in a diabolical worship ceremonies, which horses, cats, black sheep, oxen, human beings, and other offerings were rounded up, stuffed into wicker cages, and burned to death. That's what they used to do in the past. This was done to appease Samhain and keep spirits from harming them. It is clear to see that Halloween was always been a celebration of death, which is really amazing. Our pilgrim forefathers, not mine, but that's what they call them, well knew of Halloween's occult roots. In fact, they banned celebrating Halloween in America. Halloween was not celebrated in this country until 1845. Which really isn't that long ago. At that time, multiplied thousands of Irish immigrants flooded into New York because of the Irish potato famine of 1845 and 46. They brought with them the old Druid holiday of Halloween. That's when it came. Gradually, celebrating this day spread throughout the rest of the country. Remember, America, when it was created, there was no holidays. So anyone who brought their paganness, everyone sort of sheared into it. Isn't that crazy? Halloween, the Celtic people, Britons, Ghouls, Scots, Irish, they observed the end of summer with sacrifices to Samhain. He was the Lord of Death. Spirits marked the beginning of the Celtic New Year. So depending on your source material, the Druid, and this other one says, the Druid Lord of Death and Evil Spirits was called Samhain. A holiday was called the Virgil of Samhain, or Samhain, pronounced Samhain. You probably have seen modern-day versions of Samhain without even knowing it. This pagan god was known as a ghostly skeleton holding a sickle in his hand. Later became known as the Grim Reaper. So there it is. And that was actually this weasel right here, Samhain. S-A-M-M-A-N, Samhain. The pagan god. Isn't that weird? People put, I think we've seen some Grim Reapers around here, actually. I'm sure people around here, most of them don't even know what they're doing, really. The Druids were occult practitioners, practitioners, witches of sorts. In the century preceding the birth of Christ, Caesar conquered the Britons, and he records very carefully the account of the Druid priests, that's the early witches. All Gallic nations are much given to superstitions. They either offer up men as victims to their gods or make a vow to sacrifice themselves. The ministers in these offerings are the Druids, and they hold that the wrath of the immortal gods can only be appeased and men's life redeemed by offering up a human sacrifice, and it's part of their national institutions to hold fixed solemnities, yeah. So that means ceremonies for this purpose. Sacrifices. The Druid priests and people would go from house to house asking for fatted calves, black sheep, and human beings. Those who gave were promised prosperity, and those who refused to give were cursed and threatened. What does that sound like? In addition, it was likely that all the wandering spirits would get hungry. If you set out a treat for them, they would not trick or curse you. Hence, we have the origin of trick-or-treat. And that's where we got all this stuff from. You could actually research this yourself. Then we have trick-or-treat is a reenactment of the Druid practices. The candy has replaced the human sacrifices of old, but it's still an appeasement of those deceptive evil spirits. The traditional response to those who do not treat it to have a trick played on them. When you give out Halloween candy, you are, in essence, providing a sacrifice to false gods. People don't even know that. You are participating in idolatry, says the former high priest of Wicca. That's what the former high priest of Wicca, Tom, I don't know how to say his name. So he's saying, he goes, you may not know what you're doing, but this is what you're doing. Now here we have the old jack-o'-lantern. A lot of people think that's really cute. I don't. The World Book Encyclopedia of 1977 edition, volume 9, page 24 to 26. The apparent harmless lighted pumpkin face of the jack-o'-lantern is an ancient symbol of a damned soul. In the book Occult Conceit, the author says on page 190, candlelit pumpkins or skull served as a signal to mark those farms and homes that were sympathetic to the Satanists and thus deserving of mercy when the terror, trick-or-treat, of the night began. Further, an old edition of the World Book Encyclopedia said, the apparently harmless lighted pumpkin faces of the jack-o'-lantern is an ancient symbol of a damned soul. This is what they used to say a long time ago. So then you might say, where did the costumes come from? Well, they originated with those terrible druid death rites also. As people and animals were screeching in agony while being burned to death, the observers would dress in costumes made of animal skins and heads. They would dance, chant, and jump through the flames and hope warding off the evil spirits. Again, the early origin of costumes is repulsive. On the evening of October 31st, the Druids, who were the occultist priests and teachers of the Celts, ordered the people to put on their harsh fire. I don't know how to say that. Harsh fire. My New York accent hinders me. Hearth. The Druid priests, a huge New Year bonfire of old branches, oak branches, which they considered sacred, they burned animals, crops, and human beings as sacrifices to their sun god, Muk, Ola, and Samhain, their gods of death. During the diabolical ceremony, the people wore costumes made of animal heads and skin. So you could look this up in old encyclopedias. I don't know what they say in the new ones, but they practiced divination, looked for omens in the struggle of the victims, sacrificing fires, jumped over the flames, or dashed through them, dancing and sang. All of this was done to frighten the evil spirits away. According to the Man, Myth, and Magic, Volume 1, page 68, the geysers went from house to house singing and dancing. Their blood-curdling masks and grotesque costumes may have been meant to keep evil at bay, or more likely were visible representations of the ghosts and goblins that lurked in the night. In the 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, volume 12, page 8578, it states that the Druids' belief that on the eve of this festival, November 1st, Celtic New Year, Samhain, Lord of Death, called together the wicked souls, spirits, that within the past 12 months had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. That's what they actually think. Samhain would then send these evil spirits to attack people on the eve before the November 1st celebration. The only way these people could escape was by assuming disguises and looking like evil spirits themselves. And you can look that up in Christianity Today, October, and you can that's where the information came from. Now you might say, what's so bad about bobbing for apples? Well, in 43 AD, the Roman Empire was in solid control of the Celtic people. As a result of this control, the idol-worshipping Romans introduced another ceremony honoring their false gods to the already demonical Druid New Year celebration. It was in honor of their goddess of fruit trees. So bobbing from apples has a real meaning to it. It was the honor of their goddess of fruit trees. They would try to grasp fruit floating in water without the use of their hands. Remember, I'm sure. This is the origin of bobbing for apples, according to the Atlanta Journal and Constitution Associated Press, quote, October 16, 1977. So there's a lot of old books you can find in libraries or on the net. I don't know if you can find them on the net. You have to go to old libraries and old bookstores, and it's nice to get some of these books. Now, I love cats and dogs and animals, but the black cat in 1959 edition of the World Book Encyclopedia, under Halloween, it was noted that the Druid priests believed that cats were once human beings. Did you know that? That's why on Halloween, I don't know if you ever noticed this, they always tell you, if you have a black cat, keep it inside, because you don't see any black cats anywhere. But anyway, they thought cats were once human beings, but were reincarnated as punishment for evil deeds. Because of this, they held cats sacred and involved them in their idol worship of October 31st and November 1st. So October 31st, November 1st is probably 2 days to stay away, you know, stay away from everything. Because there's people on the net that are called pagans. They still celebrate all this stuff, you know. Druids believed that the cat was sacred and that cats once had changed from human beings and reincarnated. And that's in the American Book of Days by George Douglas. Even after Christianity spread to Europe, oxen were sacrificed on October 31st in medieval Europe. Black cats were chosen as victims in the belief that they were witches in disguise and were burned on that day, Halloween. The American Book of that's in the American Book of Day, third edition by Hatch. So all these have been recorded through time of what people used to think and do. That's why I'm just giving you so much information. It is plain to see that cats, particularly black cats, were thought to represent evil. Further, they were a symbol of reincarnation. The humane society, would not release black cats around Halloween for fear that they would be mistreated or sacrificed. Did you know that? Check your neighborhoods. Any ghoulish decorations? Yeah. Check that out.
They are around here.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of Halloween. That should be enough to, you know, I could have got into other things too, but that's enough. And they're all quoted from all these magazines and books and periodicals and, you know, publications. Let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Some people ask us that all the time. There are many different accounts on the net. Here's one of them, okay? The Pilgrims left Plymouth, England, on September 6, 1620, for the New World. Although filled with uncertainty and peril, it offered both civil and religious liberty. Basically, they were escaping Catholicism, otherwise they'd get killed. Arriving in Massachusetts in late November, the Pilgrims sought a suitable landing place in 1621. The Pilgrims were a specific group of Calvinist Christians. After King Henry VIII separated the Church of England from the rest of the Catholic Church, many English subjects were dissatisfied with the king acting as the highest church authority. Encouraged by the Protestant Reformation in Germany, Holland, and Switzerland, these dissatisfied subjects separated from the Church of England in favor of a type of Christianity without a church hierarchy, which with the Bible as the only authority, as they interpreted it, of course. Without a hierarchy, many different interpretations of the Christian faith were practiced by various separatist groups. As a whole, the groups were called Puritans, but that's what they were. One group, originally called the Leiden Congregation because they left England and lived in Leiden, Holland for several years, believed that they could not successfully live with their beliefs among the English, and the English authorities also pressured the government of Holland to remove them. This group set out to live as a congregation in the New World. They became known as the Pilgrims because they saw themselves as settlers in a promised land with a promised future. The Pilgrim Church no longer exists as a single entity. They were a type of Calvinists and Puritans. Their religion is similar to today's Baptists, Congregationalists, and Methodists. And obviously, none of this is of the God of Israel. It has nothing to do with what we believe. And that's what America was founded on. And they brought all their paganisms here. So now we're in the time machine. Remember, I'm going to fast forward a bit in time. In 1789, following a proclamation issued by President George Washington, Americans celebrated its first day of Thanksgiving under God under its new constitution. That same year, Protestant Episcopal Church, of which President Washington was a member, announced the first Thursday in November would become its regular day for giving thanks, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities. Yet, despite the early national proclamations, official Thanksgiving observances usually occurred only at the state level. Did you know that? It wasn't even amongst the people. Much of the credit of the adoption of a later annual National Thanksgiving Day may be attributed to this lady, Sarah Joseph Hale, Mrs. Sarah, the editor of Godley's Lady's Book. For 30 years, she promoted the idea of National Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president until President Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of November as a National Day of Thanksgiving. Over the next 75 years, president after presidents followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a National Thanksgiving Day. Then in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of every November as a national holiday. Now you know how it happened. It's made up. The problem with this is today that anyone does Thanksgiving. That means whatever religion you have or you don't have, it's all about families getting together, drinking beer, eating turkey, eating your leftover Halloween pumpkin pie, and watching football and the parade has replaced the God of Israel. In other words, America had to fill up a calendar with some pagan holidays, so they just started doing anything. So which God, during Thanksgiving, you know, think about it. Which God are they thanking? Everybody knows the Islam God is not the same as the Christian God, and the Christian God is not the same as the Jewish God, and the Jewish God is, and then you have all the Christians, the Baptist God is not the same as the Catholic God, and you can just keep doing that all day long. And then the other thing is this: some people don't believe in God at all, and they still show up just to eat. So anyway, that's enough on Thanksgiving. So that's why we don't do Thanksgiving. So we have our days to thank the Lord. We thank the Lord every day and praise the Lord every day. That is our PhD and our THD. We thank the Lord every day and praise the Lord every day. Did you catch that?
Amen.
That's our PhD and So anyway, then we have to deal with this guy Ron Karenga. He's made up in 1966. He went and made up his own alternative to Christmas because he's black, and he wanted it to. He made up this thing called Kwanzaa, which is it's just made up since 1966. It's not that far away, really. I mean, that's really ridiculous. It's a Christmas season exploitation of African Americans. I don't know. That's ridiculous. Anyway, so then I feel it's only appropriate to read a little bit about Xmas, known as Christmas. I don't know why they have Xmas. Satan likes to X out Christ, even in the pagan holidays. Let's read a little bit about Christmas that's going to be coming, because they're already advertising Christmas everywhere. I'm getting emails about Christmas decorations and stuff, and I don't even know why. Anyway, Christmas tree originated from Germany in the 1500s, brought to the United States different times by German immigrants. So you could thank them for that. Christmas, known as Xmas, once upon a time, Christmas was banned in 1659 in America. The Catholic Church won. Watch the History Channel, Christmas Unwrapped, on YouTube if you get a chance, okay? Go to YouTube and put in, go to YouTube and just put in Christmas Unwrapped. Anyway, so Christmas was received here in America in Connecticut in 1777, Pennsylvania, 1821, decorated up Ohio, 1847. The national Christmas tree celebrated in 1923 became a national holiday in 1870. Some silly people sing to their dressed-up dead evergreen tree, Oh Christmas Tree. And that's a, believe it or not, Oh Christmas Tree is a traditional German Christmas carol. Could you imagine singing to a tree, whether it's dead or not? All the lies you tell your children on Xmas. You tell them there's a Santa Claus and he is a merry old man with a red and white clothes. There is a Mrs. Claus too now. Does he have babies? I can't remember. Okay. Anyway, if you do some research on the net, Catholic Saint Nicholas. In 1823, the famous poem A Visit from Saint Nicholas, or Twas the Night Before Christmas, was published by Dr. Clement Clark Moore, later claimed that he had written it for the children. It's always for the children. Some scholars now believe that it was actually written by this Henry Livingston Jr., who was a distant relative of Dr. Moore's wife. Anyway, who knows? See how things all get twisted. This poem describes St. Nicholas with eight reindeers and given them their names. They became really well known in the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, written in 1949. In the 16th century in Northern Europe, after the Reformation from the Catholic Church, the stories and traditions of St. Nicholas became unpopular. But someone had to deliver presents to the children at Christmas. So in the UK, particularly in England, he became Father Christmas or Old Man Christmas, an old character from stories played during the Middle Ages in the UK and parts of Northern Europe. In France, he was known as, I don't know how to say that, Père Noël. In Germany, Chris Krink. In the early USA, the name was Chris Krinkle. Later, Dutch settlers in the USA took the old stories of St. Nicholas with them, and Chris Kringle became Sinterklaas, or as we know him, Santa Claus, right? So everything just changes down through time, and people keep embellishing, and I guess you can call it etymology. Many countries, especially ones in Europe, celebrated St. Nicholas's Day on the 6th of December. In Holland and some other European countries, children leave clogs or shoes out on December 5th, St. Nicholas Eve, to be filled with presents. They also believe that if they leave some hay and carrots in their shoes for Sinterklaas's horse, they will be left some sweets. That's what the kids are all talked into this stuff. St. Nicholas became popular again in the Victorian era when writers, poets, and artists rediscovered and embellished the old stories. The UK Father Santa Claus and the American Santa Claus, UK Father Christmas and the American Santa Claus became more and more alike over the years and are now one and the same. So they used to be two different things, but now they're one and the same. Some people say that Santa lives in the North Pole. In Finland, they say he lives in the north part of their country called Lapland. But everyone, even though there's disagreements where he lives, everyone agrees that he travels through the sky on a sledge that is pulled by reindeer, and that he comes into houses down the chimney. That's ridiculous. At night and places presents for the children in socks or bags by their bed and in front of the family Christmas tree or by the fireplace. Now, I mean, think about that. They actually have kids thinking that some guy jumps through their chimney. Imagine how dirty you'd be. What about if you don't have a chimney? On January 1st, 1881, Harper's Weekly, that used to be a periodical back then, published Thomas's Nest, most famous image of Santa, complete with a big red belly, an arm full of toys, and smoking a pipe. This image of Santa became very popular, and more artists drawing Santa in his red and white costume from 1900 to 1930. So, even in 2017, you can still hear parents telling their children that this is Santa has a home located or near the North Pole. Santa fills socks or stockings with presents on the night of December 24th. Santa enters through the chimney with presents. He sees you when you're sleeping. That's scary. He knows when you're awake. He sounds like a pedophile. He knows if you have been bad or good. Sounds like Santa replaced God. Now, if you re-spell Santa, look at the word you get. You get Satan. You could actually use the same letters and just reword it. Some people decorate and sing to a dead evergreen tree, old Christmas tree. I don't think I ever did that. Did you ever do that? Some people think every time a bell on a Christmas Xmas tree rings, an angel gets his wings. Yeah, it's from the movie. They tell their children that elves make the toys at the North Pole. Slave labor, that's what I call it. They tell the children to leave out milk and cookies for Santa. They tell the children to write letters to Santa. Oh yes, maybe they might mention to the children that Jesus was born on December 25th, another lie. They might, I don't even know if they bring that up anymore, do they?
Oh yeah, the church
is done. Yeah. These tales above are all lies. None of these are in scripture. They are made up stories embellished from the past. So you can see that all through time, now that we're at this point in time, we can look back and you can see everything came from Europe. And everyone brought everything to America because there was no holidays here in America. And they had to populate their calendar with some kind of festivities. They didn't know about the Feast of God because they were just escaping the Catholic Church. And, they were trying to start their own little thing here, which they did. And, of course, the whole thing with the Indians and all, that's another whole subject. That's for another day. Anyway, so the following is a quote. You guys know about I think I read this last time. You can go read the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it tells you all about Christmas, okay? Sun worship and all that kind of stuff, Mithra. I'm not going to read all this to you. You guys know all about that. And that's on December 25th, Mithra. And you can go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, reports of traditional customs connected with Christmas have developed from several sources. And it's all about pagan agriculture and solar observances at midwinter. And of course, the Roman world, the Saturnalia, December 17th, was a time of merrymaking and exchanging of gifts. December 25th was also regarded as the birth of the date of the Iranian mystery god Mithra, the son of righteousness. Isn't that weird? Anyway, and you guys know about the Kalia Encyclopedia. I think I mentioned this a couple of Sabbaths ago. Same thing about Constantine. But you could read the same stuff. You could read the same information in all the encyclopedias. Okay, so both encyclopedias here plainly reveal that the source of the celebration of December 25th is the birthday of Mithra, the pagan sun god. Anyway, you can read all that. I just think anyone today with a computer and internet connection, you could probably know better than anyone with theological degrees of yesteryear, because you could actually research things yourself. But, some people think we're taking away all their fun. That's what some people have told me. I don't understand that at all. Brother John in the Bible tells us, and I say the same thing, I have not told you these things or written unto you because you know not the truth, but that you should know that no lie is of the truth. And in Revelation, we see that all liars, that's white lies, pink lies, red lies, any lies, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Could you imagine telling the kids at that point that it was only for the children? They're all, so anyway, just think, all the nativity sets and scenes are wrong. First of all, there's no three wise men in the Bible, right? And the wise men came to the young child in the house, not when Yeshua was a babe lying in the manger. And you could find this in Matthew 2. I'll just read some of this to you because this is Bible. Matthew 2, 1 says, "Now when Jesus, Yeshua, was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men." Did it say three there? It says wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And Herod the king, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he went and gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And that they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it's written in the prophets." They knew that in the book of Micah. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So the people knew that they knew their prophets and the Tanakh then. That's what they had. "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men," doesn't say three again, "inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child.'" Notice it wasn't a baby. Okay? So just think all the nativity scenes that you see on people's lawns. They have the three wise men coming to the baby in the crib. That's ridiculous. That's even unscriptural. It says they're looking for the young child, and when they had found him, they should bring him word again that we might come and worship him also. Yeah, he lied. "And when they had heard," it says, "when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was," not baby, "in the manger. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And it says, "and when they were come into the house," notice the wise men went into the house. They didn't go to any manger. And what did they see? They saw the young child. So every manger scene that you see out there, you see the three wise men coming to the baby Jesus. That didn't happen with Mary and her mother. So you can read the rest of this. Anyway, I just want to make sure you see that it's the young child. You can read the rest of this, okay? It says young child through the whole thing. And then Herod, even to verify that, he went and slew all the children that were 2 years old and under, just to show you that it was a young child, okay? And that was fulfilled in Jeremiah. You can read all that. I just want to go past this up a little bit. Now the shepherds, you never hear about the shepherds. It's not the three wise men came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. That's in Luke 2:1. You can read all that where you can see. Let me just slide down here. It says the shepherds abiding in the field kept watch over their flock, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." So who was it? The shepherds! And it doesn't say three shepherds either, right? Right, so what I'm trying to say is, this is to show you that if you read your Bible, Matthew and Luke, the Gospels, you could see that every nativity scene is ridiculous. Anyway, let me pass that up real quick. So just remember, once upon a time, Christmas was banned, right? There was no such thing in America. Now I want to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But Hanukkah is going to... Have you ever noticed that Hanukkah always happens around Christmas? Yeah, that's where it gets a little suspicious to me as a forensic spiritual detective, because I see that the Jewish kids were getting jealous that the Gentile kids were getting presents. So Why not get 8 days of presents? And make that up too. Anyway, remember Hanukkah means dedication in Hebrew, and it pertains to the temple, not a battle by Judah Maccabees, okay? It has nothing to do with a battle. In the Bible, it's talking about the dedication. And besides that, there's no temple today. That was destroyed in 70 AD. Besides that, it's the wrong month. It should be Adar, which is around February and March. Winter ends in March 21st. You can read that in Ezra 6:14 and 15. Another false fact is there's no 8 days of oil in the Book of Maccabees. Another false fact, there's no 8 or 9 candlestick menorah in Scripture, only 7 and very important. So everything's wrong about Hanukkah that they're doing today. I don't know why people want to read the Judah Maccabees story in the Apocrypha, you know. It's ridiculous. So we have this scripture always people bring up, John 10:22, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. Yeah, that was around February. And then Yeshua walked in the temple. He didn't say anything about a battle there with Judah Maccabees, did he? Anyway, in the scripture above pertaining to Hanukkah, dedication, John was talking about Solomon's temple that Ezra helped rebuild. And you can read all that in 1 Kings 8:2, Chronicles 5:3, and Ezra 6:14, right? But you have to do the research like I do, and you'll see that the Hanukkah today is all made up. It says, and this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which corresponds to our February and March. And that's when it says cold. It's not November or December. That's the main thing. It's around February or March. It's not November or December. That's when they do Hanukkah, which is ridiculous. Anyway, you can read all that in Ezra. You can see that the 12th month, which is called Adar, is around February, right there in Esther 3:7. Because guess what? It's the 12th month, Adar. It's the end of the year. Right? Anyway, also remember the first dedication was the 7th month of the dedication. The Hanukkah was the first dedication of the temple when Solomon built it in 1 Kings 8:2. And there it is right there. It was the feast. It was Hanukkah in verse 63. Okay? They dedicated the house of God. Another Hanukkah was in Ezra, Nehemiah, when they rededicated it. That's about it. It has to do with the temple. Another common made-up name for the made-up feast is Hag Ha-Orim, which means the Feast of Lights. It is found, it's written in the writings of Josephus, who was a first century Jewish historian, we are told, which I never met the guy, so I don't know what he was. The second name, however, is also based upon a lie, tradition. And here's how they got the Festival of Lights. Supposedly, when the Jewish rededicated the temple and walked and wanted to rekindle the lampstand, they found only enough oil for one day. It would take 8 days to make a new supply. They decided to kindle and burn the remaining oil. A miracle occurred, they say. It's a lie, as the oil that was enough for only one day lasted for 8 days, thus the term representing the Feast of Lights. This is why the Hanukkah menorah has 8 candles, which is unscriptural, instead of the 7 candlesticks that's scriptural in the menorah in the Bible. They made 8 candlesticks to commemorate this made-up miracle. So why not have a made-up menorah with a made-up miracle? Remember, the made-up miracle is not in the Maccabees. That's all made up. This made-up feast of today, Hanukkah, is not found anywhere in scriptures as it originates during the time of the history after the book of Malachi. It should be remembered that none of the historical books mention the fake miracle as it originates with the Talmud and not in any books of Holy Scripture. The historical books that speak of the Maccabean revolt as a real event are in the uninspired Catholic 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and they make no mention of any miracle of 8 days of oil at all. So that you see how it's all in the Talmud, it's made up. I have the Talmud. I hope you can understand it is a fact that this made-up feast is recorded in rabbinical writings, not found in Holy Scriptures, I have the Talmud to prove it too. So you can read the Talmud. It's in the Mass Sabbath 21b yourself if you care. Okay. Anyway, so what I'm getting at is with the study is after finding the Feast of God and the Holy Days of God that we could track scripturally, these other pagan holidays, if you do any kind of forensic spiritual investigation, you could really track how they're all brought in from Europe. They're all embellished by one century to another century to another century. And you could see how things just become just a big blur. Now anybody does anything. You got Jews doing Christmas. You got the Messianics doing the fake Hanukkah. You got anyone doing Halloween or Thanksgiving. I mean, you know. Anyway, I am reminded always to inform you to beware of the false image of love, because it's definitely thick. It's thick out there, the false image of love. All your relatives will be sending you cards and best wishes and false. It's just really imaginary. Watch out for false emotions that you might feel. Watch out for loneliness that you might try to sneak upon you. It's like almost like a creature jumps on you. Watch out for depression, might try to leap on you. Watch out for financial drain, because that happens to a lot of people, and divorce and nightmares. And watch out for thoughts of suicide. Be aware of the artificial false festival lights and music they put up. Satan really sets the stage for you. I can't think of any other time that Satan really sets the stage. I mean, they got the music flowing and the fake snow and the confetti and everyone's just so false happy, but the whole thing's fake. It's like right now, if we just go, yay!
Yay
for nothing. Anyway, so beware if you hear a voice, you feel or you hear a voice telling you to separate yourself from the congregation, to go off and on your own and read and or whatever. Because that little voice, I know, hits some people. Anyway, be safe during these days, and I hope you got something out of the study. And if you've got anything out of it, you should know that everything that people are doing today, even the thing I see across the street there, that's all made up. What do they call that? Summer? Winterfest?
Harvest
Fest. That's just made up. In other words, somebody just made that up. That's not an old tradition. Somebody, Harvest Fest. Or you can dress yourself up like a Bible character.
Trunk or treat.
Trunk or treat. That's ridiculous, trunk or treat. So they keep trying to embellish and change the paganness of everything. But there are the pagans that are really doing it the right way. Anyway, be safe out there, and I hope you got something out of this study. So I want to say Shabbat Shalom, and may God bless you, and may God bless the rest of this day. May God bless the food we eat. May God bless the singing we do, if we do any, and the studies and conversations. Let everything that has breath praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Yeshua. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Any questions or comments, I'll open the room. This is not a new study, but it's pertinent to the time. Yes, I'll shut the video. I'll stop the audio. Shabbat Shalom out there.